Let's put it. No, let's put it up differently. Let's put it up on
the side. Yeah.
It just has to hold up for 2 hours. Has the house hunting?
Actually,
we're
waiting for a call from the bank.
Oh, no. Yeah.
What's it been for the last year and a half?
No,
we're waiting for the calls since I've been
I'm not going to wear a dress though. If that's all right.
That's okay.
Okay, good. All right, brethren, please find your seats and grab your hymnals. We're about to begin. Please find your seats and grab your hymnals. Now, I'm expecting pretty much a full house, so I would really encourage you, if you are a couple of people, maybe Brother Tim, if you don't mind, maybe sit on this side, because we are still waiting for a couple of families to come through. Like, I think if everyone turns up, we might be about 60, and we've got like 64 chairs. So we've just got to squeeze in, all right? Just got to squeeze in. But welcome to church this morning. Please take your hymnals and turn to hymn number 143. Hymn number 143. And we'll begin by singing Blessed Assurance. 143, Blessed Assurance. All right, let's sing it up to the Lord.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descended, ring from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above. Filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
This is my story,
this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
All right, wonderful singing. Let's go to a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you so much for this today, Lord. Thank you that we can be in your house, giving you worship, giving you praise. Lord, I thank you for the brothers and sisters. Lord, this fact that you've given us a church, Lord, that we can gather together and have fellowship and share what we have in common, that is salvation by the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, for those that are still coming to church, I pray you give them safe travels, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you'd bless today, not just the service, but the baptisms. And Lord, I just want to thank you for the good weather. Lord, I know the forecast a week ago was for rain, and it's supposed to be sunny today, Lord, so... Lord, I thank you for answering that prayer about the weather. And Lord, I just pray that you bless the service, the baptisms, the lunch, Lord, and the follow-up meeting afterwards, Lord, for those that are able to attend. And Lord, I just want to thank you so much for this opportunity, Lord, to be able to serve in this church for a year and a half that you've given us, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Our next hymn is hymn number 227. 227. We'll sing Saved by the Blood. 227. Two to seven, saved by the blood.
Saved by the blood of the crucified one, now ransomed from sin and a new work begun. Sing praise to the Father and praise to the Son. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. The angels rejoicing because it is done. A child of the Father joined heir with the Son. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Glory and say, glory and say.
My sins are all pardoned, my guilt is all gone.
Glory and say, glory and say. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. The Father, he spake, and his will it was done. Great price of my pardon, his own precious Son. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Glory and saved, glory and saved. My sins are all pardoned, my guilt is all gone. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. All hail to the Father, all hail to the Son, all hail to the Spirit, the great freeing one. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved. My sins are all pardoned, my guilt is all gone. Saved. Saved. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one.
All right, excellent singing. We got one more hymn before the Bible reading, so let's turn to hymn number 201. Wrong hymn. 201. Please, 201. We'll sing Jesus, I am resting, resting. 201. Jesus, I am resting, resting. Actually, can you just pause the question? I know some people sometimes get confused. So when we sing the stanzas there, there's four stanzas that are listed there. There's a chorus near the top. You see the words there? Where it says chorus? Kind of away from the... So when we sing one... what do you call them? One verse? No. Is that right?
Yeah,
one verse, then we turn to the chorus and we just sing that bit. Because sometimes people start singing the second bit, okay? So make sure... Don't forget the chorus that's there. All right, Christian, thank you.
Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of what thou art. I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart. Thou hast bid me gaze upon thee, and thy beauty fills my soul. Transforming power, thou hast made me whole. Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of what thou art. I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart. Simply trust in thee, as thou art, and thy love so pure, so changeless, satisfies my heart, satisfies its deepest longings, meets, supplies its every need, compels
wrap me round with blessings. Thine is love indeed. Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of what thou art. I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart. Ever lift thy face upon me as I work and wait for thee. Rest beneath thy smile, Lord Jesus, earth's dark shadows flee. Brightness of my Father's glory, sunshine of my Father's face, keep me ever trusting, resting, fill me thy grace. Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of what thou art. I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart.
All right, the singing's been wonderful this morning. All right, take your Bibles now and please turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter number 14. And Matthias is coming up for the Bible reading. Romans chapter 14.
Romans chapter 14. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to death for disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up. For God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die, we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died, and rose, and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, and peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that is in these things, serveth Christ, is acceptable to God, and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, or anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you that we could all come here today. Please bless my dad with the Holy Ghost, and for everyone to take something from the sermon and be blessed. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
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 Okay, before I get into the sermon, just want to mention, obviously, Sister Carol, she would have loved to be here today, but Akalia was tested positive for COVID, so they thought it'd be better. So even though Sister Carol was tested negative, she just thought it'd be safe for them to stay home, but I know she definitely wanted to be here today. The other family that I want to mention, obviously, we, for quite some time, for about 6 months, we had Gareth and Jill Hayward. You know, the South African family. They visited us for a while. Now, if you don't already know, they ended up making the decision to return back to South Africa. And I got a message about 2 weeks ago that I just wanted to update you. And he just wrote, "Hi to all," so obviously to the whole church. "We are settling nicely here, back in Africa, moving into our house on Monday." So since that message, I'm sure they moved into their house already. And then you may recall Sister Bonnie as well, with her, it was the four children, I believe it was, four children that she had. They're still here in Australia. They've gone back to Tweed, Northern New South Wales, and I believe they were arranging to sell their house there and move back to South Africa as well. But if you want to keep obviously that family in prayer, even though we may not see them until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, but let's remember to keep our brothers and sisters in prayer as well. They were a blessing to this church while they're in attendance. All right, so let's turn to Romans chapter 14, please. Romans chapter 14, you're there already. I just want to look at three verses, and then we'll go from there. Three verses. And I'm not going to be preaching anything groundbreaking. I'm going to preach basically what we already know, okay? Nothing is new. Everything you know, all right? But sometimes this knowledge is hard to apply in our everyday life. So my encouragement to you, brethren, is to apply what we're reading in your everyday life. Look at verse number 7. It says, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself." Now, brethren, if you're saved, the Bible's saying here that you don't live for yourself anymore. It's not about you anymore. It's not about Pastor Kevin. I've got to go to work. I've got a family. Yeah, of course, we have to still operate in this life. Of course, we still have to operate in this world. Of course, we still have relationships to maintain and work to do, and we've got to be productive in this life that God has given us. But notice that it's no longer for ourselves. Even if we pass away, it's not for ourselves, brethren. Verse number 8, "For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's." Brethren, you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. The moment you got saved and you trusted in his finished work, his death, burial, resurrection, his shed blood on Calvary, you know, you now belong to Jesus Christ. You need to understand that you've been purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of God was shed to cleanse you from your sin, but to purchase you for himself. You've become a child of God. And now when we live, brethren, the Bible says, we live for the Lord, we belong to the Lord, we are the Lord's. Verse number 9, "For this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both to the dead and living." Now this is wonderful. The great promise of being saved is the moment we die, we're in heaven. Jesus Christ is still our Lord. You know, we cannot truly die if you're saved. You've been given everlasting life. The moment this flesh closes its eyes, you're going to open your spiritual eyes and you'll be there with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. Amen. This is a great promise. And, you know, sometimes we may be fearful about death. We may be fearful about, how you're going to die, or, you know, all the things that you still have to accomplish in this life in the sight of death. But please remember that even if we're dead, we are the Lord's. We serve the same Lord God. And of course, this is why we get the instruction there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that we should not mourn like others which have no hope. Because one day we're going to see our loved ones that are in Christ in the rapture, in the clouds, or in heaven, whatever comes first. Okay? So we are the Lord's. Everything we do is for the Lord Jesus Christ. The title for the sermon this morning is, "Do it all for Jesus." Do it all for Jesus. You're in church today. Do it for Jesus. Don't do it for Pastor Kevin Sepulveda and the Sepulveda family that are moving back to Queensland this week. You know, I hope that's not why you're in church. I hope you said, "I'm coming to church because I'm doing it for Jesus." Hey, and if we end up blessing man in our journey as we bless Jesus, praise God. We do it for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when we live every day, when you wake up on Monday, you say, "This Monday, today, I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm not going to live for myself. I'm going to live for Jesus Christ." And it's so important, brethren, that we apply this in our life. If you want to stay grounded in your faith, If you want to stay faithful to our Lord God, please do not elevate man. Do not elevate any man, brethren. We're all sinners. We all needed salvation. We all have the same temptations, the same sinful flesh, the same problems and the same hardships. And sometimes if we set our sights on a man, we can really be let down in our faith. You know, where churches might collapse, or pastors might do some grievous sin, or maybe our parents let us down. But if we do everything for Jesus, Jesus will never let you down. He'll always keep you lifted. He'll always love you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll give you the strength to live day by day, as long as you do it for Jesus. You know, you go to work, you do it for Jesus. You raise your children, you do it for Jesus. You know, you drive back home after the service, you do it for Jesus. You do it all for Jesus, brethren. That is the call that we have as Christians. Now, let's turn away from Romans and let's go to the book of Colossians. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. The Bible is filled, the New Testament is filled with this simple doctrine. Do it all for Jesus. As I said to you, you already know that. You know that's why we live. You know that's what we're supposed to do. You know that everything we do, we ought to be doing it according to the will of our Lord God. You know that. I know that. But how hard is it to apply? How hard is it to apply? You know, sometimes we get caught up with thinking we're doing it for ourselves. You know, or we're doing it for some man. And yet, you know, there's nothing wrong with helping a fellow man. But brethren, when you help your fellow man, you do it for Jesus. Okay? Everything we do it for Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 3, please. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 17. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 17. It says, and whatsoever ye do in word, hey brethren, whatever you speak, okay, or deed, that's whatever you do. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. How hard is that standard though? Even everything you say, I do it for Jesus. I do it for the name of Jesus Christ. That includes text messaging. That includes whatever you share on social media. Whatever you produce, brethren, you ought to say, is Jesus pleased with what I'm producing? Is this for Christ? Is this in accordance to God's will? You do it for Jesus. It's hard. Okay? You get emotional. You get upset. You might say words that you regret. You know, everything we say and do, we need to test it. Does this line up with what Jesus wants me to do? That will change your life. And again, we know these things. I'm not showing you anything new. You know we live for Jesus. You know he's our Savior. You know he's our Lord. Okay? Now, for some people, he's a Savior, but he's not the Lord. Okay? When we say that Christ is our Lord, what we're saying is that he's the boss. I'm going to live my life in accordance to his will, which is not salvation. Salvation is accepting Jesus as Savior. Okay? That's what salvation is. Accepting that he's done everything necessary to save us. Not only did he take our sins, not only did he take our curse from us and put it upon himself, but he took his own righteousness, his own perfection, and put it on us. We are in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. When we stand before God, he sees us veiled in the shed blood and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You know, if you think that, you know, you can lose your salvation, what you're saying is the righteousness of Christ is not enough. That's wrong. Yes, believing on Christ, trust in his salvation, trust in his shed blood, trust in his righteousness is what saves us, brethren. But then, once you're saved, it's up to you. You decide, am I going to live for Kevin Sepulveda or am I going to live for Jesus Christ? It's your choice. You're still going to heaven. But brethren, if you want to receive the blessings on this earth, if you want to put a smile on God's face, then live for Jesus. Do what Jesus says, okay? Speak. Be careful about the words you say. You know, or when you say words, examine what you just said. Say, would Jesus be happy with what I just said? You know, will he be? And it'll change your life. You know, it'll change your life. You know, if you truly live for Jesus Christ, every second, every minute, every moment of your life, people would not recognize who you are. Okay? It's a big calling. It's a lifelong journey as we continue living for Jesus. And it says here at the end of verse number 17, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. You know, one way to remember, to encourage you to live for Christ every day is to remember and being thankful for the things that God has given you. Think about all the blessings. Think about, you know, your family. Think about your home. Think about, you know, your ability to take care of your every need. Think about, you know, the strength God has given you to live day by day. If you just remind yourself to be thankful for what God has given you, it's going to help you to continue living for Jesus Christ. Let's keep going there. Verse number 18. It says, wives, yes, I'm talking to the ladies today, if you're married, okay? And if you're not married, if you're single, then get ready, ladies, because this is for you, all right? Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Ah, oh, Christina, you know, it's like saying, Christina, you got to do everything Kevin says, right? I mean, look, if you have a loving husband, obviously you're going to have to take into account what your wife is saying, okay? Obviously, when you make decisions, you're making decisions not what's best for you, but what's best for your family. Okay, that's what a loving husband does. But notice, ladies, what it says here. You know, if you're struggling to submit to your husbands, it just said, it continues saying here, as it is fit in the Lord. As, well, the word fit is like the word suitable. As it is suitable, you know what's what fits the Lord? You know what's suitable for the Lord? You know, ladies, what the Lord Jesus Christ wants from you is to be submissive to your husbands. To allow your husbands to be the head of the family. To be the main decision maker when there are certain things to do. If you want to please Jesus Christ, if you want to do all things for Jesus, ladies, wives, submit to your husbands. Submit to your husbands. And look, you can submit to him as you submit to Jesus Christ. You know, again, we're not doing things just for another person, which is wonderful and great. We're doing all things for Jesus. Ladies, if you want to serve Jesus full time, be submissive to your husband. It's hard. I know it's hard. This whole teaching is hard, and yet it's so simple. Like, the doctrine itself is so easy. The doctrine itself is so simple. But living out the doctrine, it's hard. But Reverend, that's the requirement of a Christian, right? We see what God has in the Bible, and we live in according to his ways, and it is challenging. And you will fail. And you probably failed today already, okay? But we keep striving to reminding ourselves that we're here to serve Jesus Christ. Let's keep going to the next verse, number 19. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. All right, so again, when the Bible says things like that, be not bitter against them, you know what that tells me? It tells me that husbands get bitter at their wives. That's why God has to put it in the Bible. Right? If husbands did not get bitter at their wives, it's unnecessary. Okay, husbands, love your wives. And I'm going to quickly read to you from another passage, a parallel passage about this. You can stay there in Colossians, we're coming back. But Ephesians 5:25, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Brethren, how far did Christ go to give himself for the church? What did he do for the church? He gave up his life. Okay, he gave up his entire life. And husbands, if you're to love your wife the way the Bible says you're to love your wife, if you want to love your wife the way that Christ loves the church, you have to be willing to lay it all down. You've got to be willing to just give up your entire life to serve your wife, to serve your family. Yes, men, when we go and work, when we go and provide, that is service to our wife, that is service to our children, that is service to our household. We serve one another. You know, if you don't already know, brethren, you know, authority in the Bible is about making yourself low. It's the opposite to the world. The world thinks if I've got authority, I'm the boss. I call the shots. No, in the Bible, if you want authority, you got to humble yourself first. You've got to lower yourself first. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you know, the Lord God walking this earth, who gave himself for us, came as a servant. He humbled himself. He lowered himself to be made in the likeness of sinful flesh, manifest in the flesh, lowered himself. And yet he's been exalted above the heavens. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. And husbands, if you want to do it all for Jesus, if you want to raise your family, if you want to love your wife for the sake of Jesus, then husbands, you've got to love your wife and be not bitter against them and be willing to lay down your life for them. You've got to be willing to do whatever it takes to make sure your family are taken care of. Now, you're still there in Colossians. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 20. The Bible says, children, all right, children, you don't get away with this. Oh, mom and dad, you gotta live for Jesus. Children, you gotta live for Jesus as well. My children, you gotta live for Jesus as well. Okay? It says, children, obey your parents in all things. Now, parents, let me give you a word of advice, because I know how your kids are, I know how my kids are. All right? When they want something, they'll go to mum. And if mum says no, they'll go to dad. Okay? Or they'll go to dad and dad says no. Well, I want a yes answer, they'll go to mum. Because they think they've got it, like it's like a coin. They can kind of flick a coin. And maybe we'll get the right answer out of one of them. Parents, let me encourage you to be consistent, to lay down the rules from the very beginning. And you know, sometimes, I think the best thing to do, if you know your child's already gone to the other parent, and the other parent said no, you know, just ask the kid, so what did the other one, what did, you know, your mom say, what did dad say? They said no, okay, go with it. Even if you would have said yes, once the other parent said no, all right, it's no. Okay, just to be consistent, so your children don't take advantage of the fact that we are inconsistent, aren't we, parents? You know, we're not always on the same page. But let me encourage you, remain consistent. It's going to benefit your children. But children, obey your parents, that's mum and dad, in all things. Oh, but what if... No, all things. Oh, but what if I need to go to... You know, no, all things. You know, the Bible says, obey your parents in all things. You know what? You're to obey your parents over your teachers. You know who's got the highest authority over the children? Oh, the New South Wales government. No, mum and dad have the highest authority over children. Please be careful what you get taught in your school system, okay? Your school systems are going to tell you, hey, report on your mum and dad. It happens. Like, I know stories about it, right? We've all heard stories about these things. But you know, the Bible's very clear that parents, you've got authority over your children. Children, you're to obey your parents in all things. Now notice the next words. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Children, how do you please Jesus Christ? How do you live for Jesus? Oh, maybe I've got to train to become a pastor. Maybe that's what Jesus wants. Oh, I've got to make sure that I read my Bible cover to cover. And that's great. But you know what? Where you start, you just obey mom and dad. Whatever mom and dad says, okay, mom and dad, I'll do it. I promise you, it's going to be better for you in the long run. You know, sometimes we think, well, if I just disobey mom and dad, I'll get my way. And maybe you will get your way. Maybe sometimes you will get your way. But in the long run, you're going to be worse off. Because when you disobey mom and dad, what happens? Your mom and dad will lose trust in you. All right? But if they see, hey, my child obeys. You know, he's doing what I've asked him to do. You know what's going to happen? Mom and dad are going to give you more liberties. They're going to trust you more. They're going to reward you more. They're going to be happier with you. And ultimately, Jesus Christ is going to be happier with you. We do it all for Jesus. So, wives, you do it for Jesus. You submit. It's so hard to submit to my husband. You don't know my husband, Pastor Kevin. Yeah, I do know him because he's a man like me. I know all my failings. I know all the things I struggle with. Yeah, because we're the same. We've got the same flesh and blood, you know? And husbands, oh, you don't know my wife. Yes, I know your wife because I've got a wife. Oh, you don't know my children. Yes, I've got 11 of them. Different personalities. I understand the struggles. I understand the arguments. I understand that this one doesn't want to eat, you know, tomatoes, and this one doesn't want to eat onions, and this one doesn't clean up his room, and this one doesn't... I get it all, brethren, okay? But you know what? If we want to be living for Jesus, if we want to do all things for Jesus, God has given us all a family. Start by serving Jesus when you serve your family. Serve your wives, serve your wives, your husbands. Children, obey your parents. This is the primary way, this is the easy way, every single day of your life that you can serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And I promise you this, it's going to strengthen your family. You know, you're going to desire to spend more time with the people that God has given you. And if we have strong families, then this will be a strong church. Okay? If we have broken families, it results in a broken church. It's just how it is. Because the church is made up of people. The church is made up of families. All right? So if you want Blessed Hope Baptist Church to be a strong church, work on your family, serve your family, and while you do it all for Jesus. All right, let's keep going there. Colossians 3. Drop down to verse number 22. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh. Not with eye service as men please, not as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. You know that word singleness? You know, when you think about the word single, it's an integer. It means whole. You know, when you think about the number one, it's a whole number, right? A fraction is not a whole number, for example. That singleness is basically saying with your whole heart. When you go to work, with your whole heart, do it fearing God. And mothers, raising your family, whatever it is, whatever tasks you have, children, whatever chores you have, you know, do it fearing God. Doing it in singleness of heart. Do it with your whole heart. Verse number 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. You see, brethren, whatever responsibility, whatever tasks you have in your life, whatever it looks like, you know, if your children, it's your schooling, right? It's your chores. Moms, it's a raising of your family, taking care of the household. Men, it's going out providing for your family. Whatever we do it to the Lord. We do it for Jesus, is what I'm saying. We do it for Jesus. And brethren, you do it for Jesus, it's going to be better for your family in the long run. Okay? You got to work. Remind, and I've said this so many times, but I think it's so important. You got to work. You know, brother, I used to work for Brother Simon. Right? I used to work for Brother Simon. And you know what? I got to work, and I say, you know what? I'm not working for Brother Simon. I'm working for Jesus. I'm going to do what Jesus wants me to do. I'm going to give the best I can. Because if I'm just serving man, I guess I'm going to cut corners. If I'm just serving man, I'm going to try to be lazy. Right? If I cut corners, I'm going to try to do as little as I can. But I know that's not going to benefit, you know, anybody in the long run. We serve Jesus. We do with all our hearts. We do the best we can. Not unto men. Look at verse number 24. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Please remember who you serve. I mean, please think about it. Like, if you're in your household and you're not functioning as a family, I want you to think about, what if Jesus walked into my house right now? You know, what would you do for your Savior? What would you do for the one who died for your sins? Who took on the wrath of God that you deserved and was put on Christ? What would you do for Jesus if he literally walked into your house? And you know what? We're going to get those occasions. In the millennial reign of Christ, when we're here ruling and reigning with Christ, brethren, Jesus is on the earth. I mean, expect a knock on your door and it's Jesus Christ. Okay? And then the new heavens and new earth for all eternity. You know, who knows who might turn up, right? But just think about, if Christ turned up to my door, what would you do? You know, I'm sure you'd lower yourself. I'm sure you'd give him the best seat in the house. I'm sure you'd prepare the best. You're not going to go to McDonald's, are you? You know, if you're going to try to cook something great, and if you can't cook it, you're going to find the best restaurant you can. All right? And I'm just saying, what would you do? Look, you'd give him your bed. You say, Jesus, stay in my room. I'll sleep on the couch. You know, you take the best bed in the house. Brethren, if we do it all for Jesus then, when you look at our family, when we look at all the tasks that God has given you, that's how we're to conduct ourselves. But isn't that hard? You say, of course I'll do it when Jesus comes, because that's like a one-time occasion. You know? Yeah, but you got to do this every day of your life. That's why it's hard. That's why the doctrine is so simple, but yet it's so hard to apply. And yet this is the standard that we're reaching for. And again, the reason I suppose I'm going through this is because, you know, don't forget, you know, we are going back to Queensland this week, you know, as long as there's not major floodings or anything like that, right? We're going back. And, you know, the last thing I want, you know, I don't pastor two churches because, you know, I think this, I'm this great guy or something like that. I'm the same. You know, I've got the same weaknesses. I've got the same issues. I've got the same problems like anybody else, you know. And I don't do this for myself. I do it for Jesus. You know, I love Jesus. I want to serve Jesus Christ. And I want you to come to church. And, you know, the Sepulvedas are here. Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who's here. You know, I mean, I guess if it's a false prophet, it matters. But, you know, if it's a brother in the Lord that gets behind this pulpit and preaches, you know, please remind yourself, he's done the research. He's done the study. You know, he's taken time to work on a sermon, to preach us, to feed us God's word, and he's doing it for Jesus, and I'm going to go to church because I know what, that's what Jesus wants for me. It's not necessarily about, you know, a man. We're not here to be men pleasers. We're here to serve Jesus. And the more you serve Jesus, the more of a blessing you are going to be to man, automatically. Automatically, okay? Automatically, because you're doing it unto Jesus. You know, there's one person, you guys know him, Brother Michael, in Queensland. And some of you have been, you know, have received gifts from Brother Michael. And when he gives you a gift, what does it say? For those that know. Brother Anthony, what does it say?
A present from Jesus.
A present from Jesus. Okay? A present from Jesus. You know, when I was traveling to Queensland and he'd pick me up and he'd buy me, you know, well, he wouldn't just offer to buy me dinner. He'd be like, oh, can I just buy you something? He'd be like, can you do me a favor? Can you do me a favor? I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess I'll try to do you a favor. Can you let me pay for your dinner tonight? You know, or whatever, you know, can you let Jesus, whatever you say, something like Jesus, right? He's always, this is from Jesus. This is for Jesus. And it's true. You know, and I see that, you know, he's a kind of man that's very generous with his time. Very generous. You know, and I think, man, you know, I just don't deserve this. And I don't deserve this. But he does it for Jesus. You see, when you do it for Jesus, you're going to go above and beyond. You're going to do more than really what that man requires. You're going to do more than that wife or that husband or the children need, because you're doing it just all for Jesus Christ. And there's an automatic blessing to everybody else that benefits from your service to Jesus Christ. Let's go to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse number 1. Now, we had a look at servants. We saw people that work, you know, when you go to work, yeah, you don't just do it for the employer, you do it for Jesus. But look at Colossians 4, verse number 1. Colossians 4, verse number 1. Maybe you're not an employee, maybe you're an employer. Maybe you've got staff under you. Maybe you've got authority in different areas of life. Well, look at verse number 1, Colossians 4, verse 1. Masters, so now we're addressing the other people. Masters, the employers, those that have authority. Give unto your servants that which is just and equal. You know, make sure you don't underpay your employees. You know, what you've agreed to, make sure that you fulfill that obligation. Then he says this. You say, but he's a slack worker. He didn't work up to the standard. Knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Amen. You see, it doesn't matter how high your authority is on this earth. You still have a master. You're still a servant. Doesn't matter if you achieve the highest office, the president of the planet earth. You still have a master. The master is Jesus Christ. And we need to remind ourselves that, okay? So if we're going to serve as a master, we've got servants, we've got people under us, we need to treat them the way we would think that Christ, we know how we would want Christ to treat us. How Christ would pass that, and how has he treated us? Not only did he serve us, not only has he died for us, but Jesus Christ says that he's gone to heaven to prepare a place for us. Jesus is busy at work right now, building mansions, building a place for us to live, streets of gold. Okay, eternal life, you know, or whatever wonders, whatever rewards, whatever treasures exist in heaven, Christ is getting that all prepared for us right now. And please remind yourself, if you hold authority, there is someone over you. You do it for Jesus. Yes, even if you have servants, you treat them, you deal with them, you know, as the way that Christ would expect you to do things. Do it for Jesus Christ. Please now turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, please. Verse number 3. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 3. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 3. After the service, we're going to be doing some baptisms. And it says here in Romans chapter 6, verse number 3, why do we do baptisms? Does baptism save you? No. The thief on the cross, right? The one that said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus Christ said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That thief on the cross was promised everlasting life because he placed his faith on Jesus Christ. He never got a chance to get down from the cross and get baptized. Never happened. Okay? So baptism is not how you get saved. Again, it's your faith on the finished work of Jesus Christ. Plus nothing, minus nothing. If you minus something that Christ has done for salvation, you're not saved. If you try to add something, oh, but I've got to live up to this, I've got to get baptized, I've got to do this and that, you're not saved. Because you're not trusting Christ alone. Okay, faith alone, on Christ alone, is how we get saved. All right? So, why do we get baptized? Why are we called a Baptist church? It's in our name. It's how we identify. Because we're a church that's made up of baptized believers. But why do we get baptized? Is it for man's sake? You know, is it nice? Or it's nice for me to baptize people. It is nice for me. Okay, you know, Brother Greg has been a blessing to the church, and my daughter Amelia getting baptized. You know, it's a beautiful thing to baptize your own children. I love it. But ultimately, again, the title of the sermon is "Do it all for Jesus." It says here in verse number 3, Romans 6:3, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death?" You see, baptism pictures the death of Christ. Verse number 4, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life." So, brethren, what does baptism represent? Well, when you go into the water, you stand out of the water before you get put in. It represents that Christ was crucified on the cross. All right? We know that it's his death. So when we get baptized, the word baptized means to be immersed. Okay? It means immersion. All right? When you get immersed, it's the picture of Christ being buried. Okay? Now, when you get baptized, I'm not going to hold you down in water. Like, there are problems, right? You're going to start swallowing. You start to drown. You drown. You know? I'm just holding you down. All right? It's all about Jesus Christ's death. No, but it's about his resurrection. So look, literally half a second. Once you get dunked, you're going to get taken up. And of course, being taken out of water represents his resurrection. Amen. Baptism represents his death, his burial, his resurrection. Amen. Okay? So when we get baptized, it's not just Emilia or mum and dad said you should get baptized because you're now saved. No, it's not about what mum and dad wants. It's not about what the Baptist church wants. It's about what Jesus wants. It's about being identified with Christ's sacrifice for us. Let's keep going there. Verse number 5. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Okay? Now, those words likeness are important there. Okay? Because there are churches that teach that baptism actually saves you. Okay? That the water washes away your sins or something like that. No. It's the likeness. Okay? It's a like. It's a picture. We're telling everybody else that we have trusted the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this is how God wants us, you know, the wedding ring example. I don't have my wedding ring right now. I don't know. We're packing. Things are everywhere, okay? But the wedding ring example is beautiful because, you know, whether you have the wedding ring on or off, I'm still married. Whether you get baptized or not, you're still saved. But the wedding ring pictures, it's an emblem of the fact that I've made wedding vows, that I have a wife, that I'm a husband. Well, the baptism is a public declaration that you have placed your faith on Jesus Christ, okay? Now, whether you get baptized or not, you're still saved, okay? Because salvation is by faith alone on Jesus Christ. But let's keep going there. Verse number 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. All right. Backtrack to verse number 4 again. It says at the end of verse number 4, it says, we also should walk in newness of life. You see, the moment you get baptized, that's kind of like step one of your obedience to Jesus Christ. Now that you've been baptized, you are to walk in newness of life. You should walk in the newness of life, okay? And remember what we're learning here in verse number 6 is that your old man is crucified. You know, we have the old man, we have the new man. We have the old man is the flesh. The new man is the new spirit, the born-again spirit that we've been given the moment you believe on Jesus. And you need to remember this, and I've taught this not long ago. Remind yourself you've got a dual nature. The new man wants to be in church. The new man loves Jesus. The new man wants to read the Bible. The new man wants to make every day, every moment about Jesus Christ. The old man says, no, it's about Kevin. The old man says, no, it's about me. The old man says, no, I'm going to wake up on Monday and it's about me. And it's selfish and it loves to sin. That's the old man. And brethren, that's the battle we have. And just because you give in to the old man, and we all give, every time you sin, you've given in to the old man. But just because we've given in to the old man, it doesn't mean the new man doesn't exist. The new man is always there. The new man is always sinless because it's the old man, it's the flesh that sins. The new man remains pure because it's in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So you have this constant battle within you. Do I serve myself? Do I serve Jesus? And brethren, baptism is to picture not only the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, but it's to picture the fact that you're now striving to crucify that old man and live in accordance to the new man, to live in accordance to the will and desires of Jesus Christ. Please go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse number 19. Ephesians chapter 5. Sorry, brethren, I'll get you to turn somewhere else just so I can speed up the sermon a little bit. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, please. 1 Peter chapter 2. I don't want to preach too long because we've got a few in the baptisms, get back for lunch, we've got that booked for a certain time. So let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 13. And this is a passage of the Bible that we've looked at a few times while I've been here, you know, at Blessed Baptist Church for this year and a half. And it's all for Jesus, brethren. It's all for Jesus. And this has probably been the biggest challenge for us during this COVID world, all right? Don't forget, you got the flesh. The flesh doesn't like these verses that we're about to read, all right? You know, when I think about the plan to have originally come down here to Sydney, when I first thought about this idea, I approached my wife and I said, look, how about we just come for 6 months? You know, try to help the brethren out during this COVID time, get some training of preaching. Let's come for 6 months. My wife thought about it logistically, and she thought, well, it's going to take us this long to pack, to move. You know, if we're going to make a move like this, we probably should go for a year. All right, I wanted 6 months. My wife said a year. All right, let's do a year. We didn't get our way, though. It's become a year and a half, okay? Because of the border closures, all that kind of stuff, right? And things outside of our control. But it doesn't matter. If it's 6 months, 1 year, a year and a half. The thing is, we do it for Jesus. You know, sometimes things are not in our control. Sometimes things don't go the way we want. And the old man will rise up and rebel. You know, it's within all of us. It doesn't like it when things don't go according to our plans. But it says here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 13. And brethren, please remember this. You know, if disaster hits and I never get it back to Sydney, please remember these words, okay? And, you know, if I hope this helped you during COVID world, and it may help you in the near future as well, okay? But it says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. For man, for the Lord's sake. For the Lord's sake. Pastor Kevin, why do you try to keep the ordinances or the health orders? Why is it that you're trying to do these things? For the Lord's sake. I thought you were afraid of man. I thought you were afraid of government. No, for the Lord's sake. For Jesus. We live for Jesus. Whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God. Oh, but I don't agree. It doesn't matter. You do it for Jesus. It's the will of God. Take a bit of suffering. Maybe God needs to humble you. Maybe it can't always be your way. Maybe you've got to learn to just do things God's way for a change. Because we've got to give up that old man. We've got to crucify that old man that wants to rebel. Brethren, this is what the Bible says. All right? It says here in verse number 16. Oh, but Pastor Kevin, we're going to be, we're going to lose our freedoms. We're going to lose our liberties. Verse number 16. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Brethren, we're servants of God. We're not servants of man. And because we're servants of God, we are free. We are saved. You know, even if kings and governors take all our possessions, even if they take our life, we are free. We've been made free in Jesus Christ. If you live for Jesus, it's all okay. Okay? If you live for Jesus, he'll take care of your every need, regardless of what wars are going on, regardless of what viruses, whether you believe in it or not. It doesn't matter. You just live for Christ. You're free. This government, this world cannot take your freedom. You're already free, the new man. Yeah, they can take the old man. Who cares? You're trying to crucify the thing anyway. Okay, let him have the old man. The new man's free. The new man is sinless. The new man is in Jesus Christ. The new man loves the Lord. Doesn't matter what scenario we find ourselves in, brethren. You are free. Verse number 17. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. And then we have servants, be subject to your own masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Do we suffer wrongfully sometimes in this world? Of course. You know, if you follow the ordinances of man, are you going to sometimes suffer? Are you going to sometimes get the, you know, things not the way you want it to go? Of course. You know, sometimes you'll suffer for it, okay? And it says here, you might suffer wrongfully. Oh, it's not right, Pastor Kevin. I've got to fight. Just suffer wrongfully. Let's keep going there. Verse number 20. For what glory is it if when ye are buffeted for your faults, ye take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. Look at this. This is acceptable with God. Amen. What is acceptable with God? If you do what is right and you suffer wrongfully, it's acceptable with God. God's fine with it. Oh man, serious? Just do it for Jesus and you understand why. Because as you keep going, verse number 21. For even hereunto were ye called, look at this, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. What example did Christ have? They came to arrest him. Did he suffer? Did he do it wrongfully? Did he do anything wrong? Did he do anything worthy of being arrested? Of course not. He was perfect. He was sinless. He was only a blessing to those that came around him. Okay? Jesus Christ suffered wrongfully. Then he was beaten. He was whipped. All right? A crown of thorns was put on his head. You know, his blood was shed not just on the cross, but all the way leading up to the cross. Then he was nailed to the cross. Did he deserve that? Of course he didn't deserve that. Did he suffer wrongfully? Of course he did. He suffered for me. He suffered for you. All right? This is the example that Christ has given us. Did he go fight the Roman Empire? Did he go fight the government because he was being arrested wrongfully? What about when Peter took out the sword and cut off the servant's ear? What did Christ do? He healed it up. Peter, you're wrong. You know, it was necessary for him to suffer wrongfully. The Bible says he did this as an example. Look at verse 21 again. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Brethren, live for Jesus. You know, when you live for Jesus, you're going to suffer wrongfully. You're going to get blamed for things, and you just got to cop it. You know, you don't have to right every wrong. You know, every accusation that's made against you, you don't have to necessarily fight every issue. Sometimes you're just going to have to suffer for it. You're going to have to put up with whatever this world throws at you sometimes. And when that happens, and you can't get the justice that you so desperately want, just remind yourself, well, Jesus suffered wrongfully. Jesus suffered for me. And he set this example that I would follow after his steps. This is acceptable with God. God's fine with it. He's going to reward you in heaven. You're going to be fine with it when you get to heaven. You're going to be fine with it. Trust me. You're going to get rewarded by God for suffering wrongfully. All right? Verse number 22. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. Now look at verse 25. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Brethren, that old man is a sheep that goes astray. Okay, when we crucify that old man, when we crucify that flesh, and we say, well, God, I'm not always going to get things the way I want it. God, the government is being run not the way that I want. Lord, I'm losing my liberties. I'm losing my freedoms. I can't travel overseas or whatever it is that's happening in this world. Say, well, I'm suffering. And Christ gave me this example. And brethren, you're not going to suffer as much as Christ did. You're not going to suffer as much as Christ did. Okay? You might suffer for your life. Christ not only suffered for you, but he suffered for every single human being that's ever going to live and breathe on this planet. He suffered for all. Okay? Look, Christ set us an example. And we say, oh, can't believe it. You know, this is going on. That's going on. I've got to wear a mask on the plane to go to Queen. Oh, man. Man, I mean, tell that to Jesus. Being crucified on a tree, that you had to suffer for an hour to go to Queensland and wear a mask. I mean, it's ridiculous, okay? But you know, it's the old man. I'm not having to go to anybody if you feel that way, because I feel that way. I want to tear that thing off my face. It's the old man, okay? You know, but listen, we're here for Jesus Christ, okay? We live for Jesus. Everything that we do it for the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you please turn to Matthew 25? Matthew 25, please. Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse number 31. Matthew 25, verse number 31. It says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. You know, Jesus Christ is coming one day. He's coming back one day. Amen. And, you know, when he comes back, I have no doubt all of us, this pastor included, will wish we just did more for Jesus. When we see his glory, when we see his throne, say, why did we just serve ourselves the whole time? Why did we just do things for man all the time? Why did I complain so much? You know, when Christ comes back. But then it says in verse number 32, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from the other as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. We're just going to be looking at the sheep today. Verse number 24. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, that's the sheep, come ye blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now notice verse number 35. For I was hungered and ye gave me meat. This is amazing. These words to me are just, it's just amazing. Jesus Christ is going to say to us, I was hungry and you fed me. You say, well, hold on, Christ, you never came. You never came into my house. I mean, I know Pastor Kevin used that example in his sermon, but you didn't really come into my house and I didn't really have to serve you. How did I give you food, Jesus? I was thirsty and you gave me drink. When did you give a drink to Jesus Christ? I was a stranger and you took me in. Why would Jesus need to be a stranger? He owns the world. He owns the heavens. He owns it all. When does Christ have to be a stranger? You know? But notice this. As we go into heaven, Christ is going to tell us all the things that we did for him. That we fed him, that we gave him drink, that we took him in as a stranger. Verse number 36, naked and you clothed me. There was a time that Jesus needed clothes and we gave it to him. I was sick and you visited me. There was a time that Jesus was sick and he went to be a support. Went to help him, to pray for him, or whatever it was that he needed. I was in prison, and you came unto me. There was a time that Jesus was in prison, and you went to be a blessing to visit him. Verse number 37. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, or gave thee drink? Lord Jesus, when did we do this for you, Jesus? I don't remember that. Look at verse number 38. When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, or clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? Verse number 40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Amen. Ah, amazing. Whatever we do for each other, brethren, we do it for Jesus. We've always done it for Jesus. When we serve the brethren, when we serve Christ, brethren, we do it for Jesus. Yes, I guess I'm preaching for you, but really, I'm preaching for Jesus. You know, really, when Matthias came and brought me a bit of water so I could preach with clarity, I guess he, in some ways, he did it for me, but really, he did it for Jesus. And when we took in a stranger, when we've been there to help each other, we've done it for Jesus. It changes everything. Because, brethren, in church, you're not always going to get along. In church, you're not always going to make the best friends. But you know what? We're still commanded to serve one another the way we would serve Jesus Christ. Please remember that. You know, don't we all want to serve Jesus? I mean, I think if we had a choice to serve Jesus full time right now or work a job for ourselves, we'd be like, man, I'll work for Jesus. Yeah, but then work now. This is your chance. When you see the brethren with needs, reach out and show them love and just be willing to serve them. Be willing to take care of their needs. Be willing to take care of them the way you would take care of Jesus Christ. If he was naked, if he was in prison, if he was hungry, if he was thirsty. Brethren, church is not about Pastor Kevin Sepulveda necessarily. It's not about this brother or this sister necessarily. Oh, who's coming to church? I'll come to church if they come to church. It's not about that. We're coming for Jesus. We do it all for Jesus. And brethren, then we're going to get rewarded in heaven. We're going to get rewarded for everything that we do. There is a quick passage that I wanted to read to you. Actually, that's not the passage. Actually, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 31. We'll end on this one. 1 Corinthians 10, 31. And brethren, I want you to serve Jesus Christ full time. I'm not saying be a pastor. I'm not saying be a deacon. I'm not saying be a missionary. I'm not saying be an evangelist. Okay? You serve Jesus Christ full time. Today, you can serve him full-time. Tomorrow, you go about your life as you normally would. But now you have the mindset, I'm going to do it all for Jesus. You know, when I wake up in the morning and give my wife a kiss, I'm going to do it for Jesus. When I wake up in the morning and I get myself ready for work, I'm going to go and work for Jesus. You know, when you go to bed and you lay down your head, I'm going to go to sleep for Jesus. You change that. Then you're serving Jesus Christ full-time. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a full-time worker of church to serve Jesus Christ full-time. You know, you serve the brethren, you're serving Jesus. Let's end on this one. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Brethren, even when you eat, brethren, even when you sit down and have a drink, do it for the glory of God. Do it for Jesus Christ. It doesn't always have to be some big thing that you have to do. Just the smallest thing. Just you, yourself, taking care of your own body. You taking care of what you need, you know, taking care of your own hunger, taking care of your own drink. Why? Because this body belongs to Jesus. Remind yourself, okay? You're taking care of yourself. You're taking care of what Jesus Christ has bought with his shed blood. Brethren, even the smallest things, the moment you sit down to eat, the moment you sit down to drink, just thank the Lord that you can even have a drink. Thank the Lord that you even have a meal that God has given you. Do all things for Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to thank you for this church. Lord, I thank you that we can be here and hear the preaching of your word. Lord, I thank you that you've given your life for us. You sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die in our place. And Lord, he suffered wrongfully. Lord, he suffered for the sins that I've committed and will yet commit. And the sins that we've all committed, Lord, the entire world was put on your precious son and his blood was sacrificed for us. Lord, I thank you for the free gift of salvation. Lord, I thank you for the example that Jesus Christ has left us. Lord, that he's given us steps to follow. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, even though this is such a simple doctrine, we all know it's true. We all know, Lord, this is your will for our lives. Lord, I pray that we can apply it, that we can just somehow, Lord, crucify that old man, the old man that has a desire for itself. Lord, that we can set that apart and just live a life that pleases you, a life, Lord, that follows after the steps of Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you so much for this church. I thank you for that we've been able to serve here for a year and a half with the family. Lord, for the ups and downs, the different struggles that we've gone through, I thank you for them all, Lord. Lord, at the end of the day, we do it for you. We do it to serve you, Lord. And I want this church to continue marching on, Lord, for your kingdom. Lord, that we would see souls saved, that we would see lives improved, that we would see families strengthened, Lord, by the preaching of your word. Lord, I pray you continue to bless Blessed Hope Baptist Church for as long as you would have it to serve you. We pray all these things in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, brethren, let's take our hymnals. And let's end on hymn number 317. 317, please. 317. 317. The hymnals, are there any hymns left? 317. We'll finish up with, I will live for him. I will live for Jesus. 317.
My love, I give to thee, thou Lamb of God who died for me. Oh, may I ever faithful be, my Savior and my...
On the chorus.
I'll live for him who died for me. How happy then my life shall be. I'll live for him who died for me. My Savior and my God. I now believe thou dost receive, for thou hast died that I might live. And now henceforth I trust in thee, my Savior and my God. I'll live for him who died for me. How happy then my life shall be. I'll live for him who died for me, my Savior and my God.
On the third.
Oh, thou who died on Calvary to save my soul and make me free. Oh, consecrate my life to thee, my Savior and my God. I'll live for them who died for me. How happy then my life shall be. I'll live for him who died for me, my Savior and